We're going to turn in our Bibles, please, to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We're going to break into the reading at the verse 28. John chapter 18 and the verse 28. Reading to the end of the chapter. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. We'll conclude our reading at the end of the chapter, and before we come to consider the message of this portion of Scripture to our hearts, let us seek the Lord. Do pray tonight that God will be with us. God will give help and assistance in the preaching of the word, and that His Spirit will be known among us this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the stillness of this moment. And O God, our Father, we cast ourselves upon Thee. We confess we need the power of the Holy Spirit to minister Thy holy word. We do not want to speak the enticing words of man's wisdom. We do not want, Lord, to speak in the power of the flesh, for we know the flesh profiteth nothing. We thank Thee for the Holy Ghost, and ask Thee now that Thou will come upon preacher and hearer alike. Lord, our land is steeped in apathy, confusion, and darkness. And only the gospel will dispel that darkness and bring light and salvation, hope and eternal life to the souls of men and women. Be pleased to make this house a place where thy word is preached in the power of the Spirit of God, and souls are brought to the light of the gospel and the light of the world. To this end, Lord, fill me with thy Spirit tonight. Speak to me and speak through me. May I be God's messenger with God's message. And should there be one in our gathering, young or old, who yet is outside of Christ on the broad road to destruction. May they be challenged tonight about their soul salvation, about their need to prepare to meet God, about Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. And may they make their calling and their election sure by seeking Christ while he may be found. Shut us in with thyself now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the hours leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was one man who was in absolute turmoil of mind and heart. More than everybody else, Pontius Pilate faced a great dilemma. The Jews, the representatives of Caiaphas, the high priest, had arrived early at his judgment hall. With them, they had their prisoner, the Lord Jesus Christ. They demanded of Pontius Pilate the immediate trial, sentencing, and execution of the Savior. They accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of all manner of evil. And at the commencement of that trial or those proceedings, it seems that Pilate wanted to brush them aside. It's as if he couldn't be bothered with another Jewish religious controversy, and he told them, take him away and judge him by your law. The Jews answered Pilate that they had no power to put any man to death. While Rome gave them certain civil and religious powers, they had no power to exercise the capital punishment to put any man to death without the power and authority of Rome. And so they pressed Pontius Pilate to commence this trial. They would not take no for an answer. And realizing he couldn't brush them off. And perhaps just wanting an easy time at the start of proceedings, he agreed and so commenced what has come to be known as the greatest sham trial in the history of the world. The Lord Jesus was brought before Pilate, and here lay Pilate's dilemma. This is what brought Pontius Pilate to a state of turmoil. Because as he began to examine the Lord Jesus Christ and to quiz him about the matters in hand, he realized and he discovered in his own mind and in his own conscience that this man was innocent. He was completely innocent of all the charges that were brought against him. Several times in this chapter and in chapter 19, he declares, I find no fault in him. And in his heart and in his conscience, he wanted to release the Lord Jesus Christ and let him go. He had done nothing worthy of death. But as he discussed this matter with the Jews, and as he tried to put it to the Jews, he realized he wasn't going to get away with it. For the Jews would settle for nothing less than the execution and the death of this man that they saw as a blasphemer. In fact, they told him, if you read the accounts of the Gospels, they told Pilate that if he did not crucify Jesus, they would send a rumor all the way to Rome that Pilate was no friend of Caesar's. For Jesus claimed to be a king, and any king in the Roman dominion undermined the authority of Caesar, and if Pilate didn't crucify him, they would badmouth him to Caesar. Pilate did not know what to do. His plight was made all the worse because his wife sent a message to him that morning. Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I've suffered many things because of a dream that I have had concerning him.
And Pontius Pilate was being given warning after warning. He knew in his own heart that Jesus was an innocent man, but the Jews were threatening him with all manner of evil if he did not crucify the Lord Jesus. What was he to do? Was he to do that which he knew was right? Or was he to give in to the crowd and sentence Jesus to death? It was then that Pontius Pilate came up with what he thought was his masterstroke. His get out of jail free card, if you like. Because he remembered that at the Feast of the Passover, it was the practice of the authorities of Rome to release a prisoner. And he decided that if he put Jesus up for release with a wretch of a criminal, that surely they would choose to release Jesus. And as he thought, who could I put up with Jesus of Nazareth that will guarantee Jesus will go free? And he thought about this wretch of a man, this criminal. His name was Barabbas. And so he comes before the people. And he asks them, which of the twain will I release unto you? If you look at verse 39, you'll see that he gives them a choice. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. There's their choice. It's Jesus or it's Barabbas. And Pilate got quite a shock. I think he was amazed. I don't think he could take it in. When he heard their answer in verse 40, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. They chose the robber. They chose the murderer. They chose the terrorist over Jesus. And in doing so, Pilate sealed his fate, and many of the Jews see theirs. I want to present this choice to you this evening. I want to look at it in four different ways, or from four different angles. I'll be brief. But I want to look at this choice from four different angles, or from four different perspectives. And I think there are tremendous gospel lessons that can be learned from the people's choice when they chose Barabbas over Jesus. Not this man, but Barabbas. I want to look at this choice firstly tonight as it relates to Barabbas himself. For I see here a picture of salvation. I put it to you, there was no one who deserved to die more than Barabbas. You turn back to the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 15. The Gospel of Mark in the chapter 15. And Mark gives us some information about Barabbas. Mark 15 in the verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas which lay bound. He was incarcerated. He was in prison with them that had made insurrection with him. Notice, he is the leader of them. He is the leader of the gang. He had a group of men who made insurrection with him. He was a Jewish zealot who took up arms and fought against the authority of Rome, seeking to bring again independence to the land of Israel and to the Jewish state. Verse 7 says, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Here was a man who was a terrorist. Here was a man who was a murderer. Here was a man who robbed, probably of his own people, so that he could carry out his foul deeds. And I don't know if as Barabbas lay in the prison, after he had been caught for murder, probably murdered a Roman soldier, possibly some Roman official, but I don't know if he lay in that prison bound, awaiting the sentence of death. I don't know if he began to feel sorry for himself. I don't know if he felt within himself, I deserve all I'm going to get. He was facing certain death. He was doomed to die. The sentence had probably been passed that Barabbas would face death by crucifixion for his rebellion, for his murder, for his thieving and his robbery. And I don't know if he lay there that he thought, I deserve all I get. But I put it to you tonight, if you could look upon Barabbas, and if you had have lived at that time, no doubt we would have had very little sympathy for this man. We would have taken the attitude, he has broken the law, he has caused grief, he has caused suffering, he has done more harm than good to the Jewish cause. I think we would perhaps take the attitude, this man deserves all that he gets. He deserves to face the sentence of death. How do you think Barabbas must have felt when the door of that prison swung open and in came the Roman soldiers and released him from his chains? Not to be beaten and scourged and flogged and whipped and crucified to a tree. But to be shown the door. And to be told that he was free to leave. You see, though Barabbas deserved to perish, and though he deserved certain death, he went free. And can I tell you tonight why he went free? He went free. He had a new life. Because someone else died in his place. Jesus died where Barabbas should have died. Jesus died in his place. And Barabbas only went free because the crowd chose Jesus to die over Barabbas. And I think if we look at this choice, and we look at it through the eyes of Barabbas, we see a picture of God's salvation within this story, within this event. There is a picture of God's salvation. How can men and women be saved from their sin? Let me remind you tonight, sin is the problem of every man and woman. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates men and women, young people, from God in time and in eternity. Sin places a sentence of eternal death and destruction over the head of every individual. Every son or daughter of Adam's race. And sin is leading men and women to hell. The good news of the gospel is you can be free from the curse of sin. The good news of the gospel is you can be free from the penalty of sin. The good news of the gospel is you can have new life, eternal life, everlasting life. But it's only because someone else has taken your place. How do you think Barabbas must have felt when he learned that the one who died in his place was not a robber or a thief or a murderer? He was sinless. He was spotless. He was holy. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. And I tell you this sinless, spotless Lamb of God, he took the sinner's place at Calvary. He took the wrath of God on you. And in the hours upon the cross, in agonies of blood, He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, He, that is God the Father, hath made Him, that is God the Son, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ took our guilt. He took our sin. He took our punishment on the cross, that we may be the righteousness of God in Him, that we may be forgiven, that we may be pardoned, that we may be justified. And I tell you tonight, salvation is by the work of a substitute, by Jesus Christ taking the sinner's place, taking the sinner's guilt, dying in the sinner's room instead. You can have eternal life. You can have salvation, and you can go free from the curse of sin, but only through Jesus Christ and Him alone. I want to look at this choice from another angle tonight. I want to look at this choice as it relates to the crowd. For if from Barabbas' viewpoint we see a picture of salvation, then as we look at this choice, as it relates to the Jewish crowd, we see, my friends, the way of damnation. The Jewish people had gathered early that morning at Pilate's judgment hall. And Pilate gave them that choice. They could choose Jesus to go free, or they could choose Barabbas. Now I want you to get something clear in your mind. They couldn't choose Jesus and Barabbas. They couldn't have both. If they chose Barabbas, they condemned Christ. If they chose Christ, they condemned Barabbas. But they couldn't have both. Just like the crowd at Pilate's judgment hall that morning in Jerusalem, I believe that every man, every woman and every child is presented with that same choice. I know there are Christians and they do not like the preacher using the word choice when it comes to salvation. They argue something along the lines, well, it's the Lord does the choosing. I believe that. But I want to tell you, those whom the Lord chooses in their lives, they choose Jesus Christ. My friends, I can't see into the secret counsels of God tonight. I don't know who He has chosen. But I can look at your life and I can challenge you and I can ask you, have you chosen Jesus? The task of every preacher is to present Christ before men and women. The preacher's job is to call you to choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua thundered forth those words, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And I ask you tonight, who will you choose? Jesus, the Savior who will take you to heaven, or the Barabbas of sin that will take you to hell? I'm telling you, you can't have both. You can't hold on to sin and choose the Savior. Turn over for a moment to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and in this great chapter of faith, we're given something of the testimony of Moses. Hebrews 11 and the verse 25. Great chapter of the faith of the Old Testament saints. And of course Moses was born into affliction and persecution. The baby boys were all being drowned in the river, the children of Israel.
Moses' mother by faith hid him in that little ark of bulrushes, put him in the river, and he was found by the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, and she fell in love with him. And she took him to heart, and she brought him up as her own son. Jochebed, his mother, nursed him. Moses was brought up in the palace. He was brought up in all the sins of the world. In all the sins of the palace. If you look at verse 25, there came a time in Moses' life when he wanted to be associated with the people of God and a child of God. Let me read just verse 24 to set the contents. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses knew that he was different. He knew that he was a son of Israel. And he wanted to be associated with the God of his fathers and with his birth people. Men and women, he realized he had a choice to make. I want to tell you, if you want to be a child of God, if you want to be in heaven at the end of your life, if you want to be associated with the people of God, you have the same choice to make. It's either the pleasure of sin, or it's Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you tonight, what will it be? Christ or sin? The devil or salvation? But I remind you, you can't have both. If you want Jesus, you must repent of your sin, and the sin has to go. The crowd that day in Jerusalem, John chapter 18 and the verse 40, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. They made, let me emphasize it, friends, they made the wrong choice. And it's possible for you to make the wrong choice. Not only did they make the wrong choice, they made the worst choice that they could ever make. When they rejected Jesus, they said to Pilate, his blood be on us and on our children. And the God who hears and knows and sees all things, he heard them. And in AD 70, less than 40 years after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Titus, the Roman general, marched with his armies to the city of Jerusalem, and he laid siege to it. And the streets of Jerusalem ran red with the blood of those Jews. Tens of thousands running into hundreds of thousands of Jews were slain by Titus. His blood be on us and on our children. And rejecting Jesus, choosing Barabbas, led to the destruction of the Jewish state. Those who did not perish were scattered abroad to the four corners of the earth. Israel ceased to be a nation for almost 2,000 years. God judged them for their wrong choice. And I want to tell you, if you choose sin over Jesus, if you choose the paths of sin over the way of salvation, it will lead to your eternal destruction. It will be the worst decision, the worst choice that you ever make. To reject Jesus, choose the world of sin and the pleasures thereof, I tell you, it will seal your damnation in hell. I look at this choice through the eyes of Barabbas, and I see the way of salvation. It's salvation by a substitute. I look at this choice as it relates to the crowd, and I see the way of damnation. I look at this choice tonight, and I want to look at it thirdly through the eyes of Jesus Christ. For I see the Savior's determination. His determination to die for sinners. You see, the crowd passed their judgment on Jesus that day.
Do you know what their judgment was, friends? That the sinless, spotless, holy Lamb of God. Do you know what their judgment was? They said, He's worse than a criminal. He deserves to die more than a murderer and a terrorist and a thief. Get that in your mind. That's what they thought of Jesus. As they passed their judgment and condemned the Lord, the Holy One, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? I quote to you tonight the words of Isaiah. He was dumb before His shearers. As the lamb is brought before the shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. And when they passed their judgment that Jesus deserved to die more than the earthly criminal, He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have ushered every one of Adam's fallen race in their sin to a lost eternity, and He would have been just and holy and right had He done so. But silently He endured the shame and the mocking and the condemnation, and He took the scourging upon His back. And the crown of thorns that was beaten with that reed until it was embedded in His brow. He carried the cross being beaten out the streets of Jerusalem and to Golgotha's rugged hill. And there He was nailed to that cross. He had that spear driven into His side so that it pierced His heart. The wrath of His Father was poured out upon Him. Hey, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And do you know why He did it? Do you know why He silently endured? I tell you, my friend, He did it because He loved sinners. And because He wanted to save sinners from an eternity in hell. Does that not touch your heart? Child of God, does it not stir up the emotions within you? To think of what He endured to keep you out of hell and to save you from sin. I want to ask you tonight, you're in this service, if you're not saved, young or old, I ask you to look to Christ. Look at what He suffered. Look at what cruel and wicked men did to the lovely Lord Jesus. Think of what He endured when His Father poured out His wrath upon Him. And He did it to save sinners like you. And I tell you, He will save you if you trust in His atoning work. What love the Lord Jesus has for sinful men and women when He silently endured the condemnation, the shame and the pain to die on the cross. My time is almost gone. I want to look at this choice from one other angle this evening. We've noted it through Barabbas' eyes that shows us a picture of salvation. We've looked at it through the eyes of the Jewish crowd, and it shows to us the way of damnation. We've looked at it through the eyes of the Savior, and it shows us His determination to save lost, perishing souls. I want to look at this choice finally tonight through the eyes of Pontius Pilate. Because men and women, I see in Pontius Pilate an awful procrastination. What does it mean when we say that Pontius Pilate procrastinated? What does it mean when we use that language? It simply means he kept putting off and kept putting off and kept putting off the choice. He knew what was right. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that he should release him, for he had done nothing worthy of death. He had been warned by his wife, have nothing to do with this man, and yet he sent him to Herod. Herod, you make the decision. Herod was a sly old fox. Jesus was right. He said, go tell that fox, Herod. Herod was a wily old character, and he thought, I'm not doing Pontius Pilate's dirty work. And he sent Jesus straight back to Pontius Pilate. He couldn't wriggle off the hook. And then he decided, I'll try and persuade the Jews. And when he couldn't do that, he decided that he would give them the choice between Pilate and Barabbas. He kept putting off and putting off. He wouldn't play the man and do what was right. And he put off and he put off and he put off, making the right decision till the decision was made for him. And it sealed his destiny for Pontius Pilate too. His soul was lost, because he condemned the Son of God. Maybe you're in the meeting and you know the gospel's true. Maybe you've been taught it from your mother or your father's knee. Maybe you just want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a few more years. Maybe you just want to get on with life for a little longer, but someday you'll get around to calling on the Lord. Someday when you have a convenient season. I warn you tonight, the convenient season may never come. And if you put off and put off and put off calling upon Christ, the danger is you will perish having rejected Christ, to your soul's destruction. The hymn writer said, make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For you may never get a convenient season to call upon him again. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I trust tonight you'll be wise. You'll seek the Lord. You'll choose for him. And you'll be saved and go free from the curse of sin and death.